Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
To another edition of Zero Block 30, today's episode is brought to you by Zen. You guys know we're all about keeping it real, so let's talk about something making a real change for vets in active duty right now, Zen nicotine pouches. If you're looking for a new way to enjoy nicotine, America's number one nicotine pouch comes in 10 varieties, like wintergreen, spearmint, and coffee, and two strengths, 3 milligrams to kick off your experience and 6 milligrams to kick it up a notch. Zyn is smoke-free, spit-free, and hands-free, giving you more freedom to move. Plus, it comes as is. No batteries or devices needed to get your Zyn on, which is one less thing to worry about on your next trip to the PX. Look, when it comes to making a change, we know progress is more important than perfection. Zyn knows it too, because everyone's on a different path. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine's an addictive chemical. If you're curious about what a premium nicotine experience looks like, head to your local convenience store, PX, or Zyn.com to find out. That's Zyn.com to find out.
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Blog 30. Today, we have a couple rounds in the magazine. I'm not really sure what they are. We're going through it at the ZBT squad. Before we get going with the rounds, I need to tell you some housekeeping. Our beloved guy, Nick, I don't know if you follow, if all of you guys don't follow the Barstool world. We had a huge round of layoffs last week. Nick was one of those unfortunate 25% that are gone from the company. And I and all of us, we just want to thank Nick for everything that he did. I would say on the technical side and like producing clips, he is unmatched, like in what he put out, the amount of stuff that he did, keeping us accountable when we weren't doing sometimes what we were supposed to do. He was there with the reminders, just an incredible guy. And not even just in the work aspect of it, doing ZBT and Mean Girls and wrestling and all that stuff. But it sucks when somebody leaves. Like we've had a couple producers that have gone, like Radio Bryn and obviously Kyle, who's one of my best friends, and Nick. Like these guys become part of like our family and the group chat, and we still talk, but it's not nearly as much. And you really miss the people that you work with when you work this close. So we'll definitely miss having old Nicky around, but we got more stuff to talk about. And the first thing, Kate doesn't even know this, but we're going to break down a blog that Kate just published on Barstool about being sad and pregnant, because I think that she's going through it and a lot of people are going through it. And you might not be going through it with a baby in your belly, but it's okay to let those emotions out. It's okay to pour your heart out to those and to complain a little bit. So that's what she's going to do. That's what we're going to do. And me and Cons are going to be her support system in doing that. We're also going to talk about a little bit about Burning Man, because I was fascinated by the lack of logistical support that they had this weekend there. And we're going to get into a Medal of Honor that was awarded by President Biden this week in our Badass of the Week segment of the day. And that should be great. And all of this today is going to be brought to you by our friends at TracFone. Are you paying too much for your wireless plan? Straight Talk just introduced a new Straight Talk multi-line plan where more lines mean more savings. Just $25 a line per line when you get 4 lines with unlimited data, talk and text on nationwide 5G, plus no contracts, no hidden fees, and no compromises. That's Straight Talk talking from Straight Talk Wireless, available at Walmart and walmart.com. And it's that is a crazy deal. My last cell phone bill that before we moved up here, I think it was for me, my wife, my kid, and me, it was like $320 a month, something crazy. Jeez. Like that. Yeah.
That's absurd.
Like data, you have like your hotspots, wire, like all that stuff, $25 a month. I'm going to have to make that change because I'm tired of it, especially if you get 5G. And I kicked my older one off my plan and she got her own and she pays like $25, $30 a month and gets the same thing. I'm just a dumb person. And don't be dumb. Go with our friends here and you're going to get a great deal. That's Straight Talk talking from Straight Talk Wireless, available at walmart.com by getting a track phone. Pretty cool deal. All right, Kate, you've been sick essentially this entire pregnancy. I would say you've been sick.
I was going to say forever.
My first pregnancy, it was like, okay, until the very end, until like the last 5 weeks, the wheels fell off then at the end there. I was using a cane.
That was when your hip went out.
Yeah. I was using a cane in New Jersey Transit to get to work, like one of those hurricanes.
You skipped mom straight to grandma. You went straight to great grandma.
My hair went gray. I was like crawling to the bathroom at night, but like that was like at the very, very end. And the rest of the pregnancy wasn't that bad. And I was like so excited the whole time. I would just stand in the shower for long periods of time, like, yo, dude, what's going on down there? How you been? Like chatting them up, like couldn't wait to meet them. Super pumped.
We do and radio this, and you'd be like, I got to grab the quesadilla blanket or the pizza blanket. Got to keep the little guy warm. I feel like he's cold.
This time it's more of a Babadook vibe. And people are already commenting, like, what are you going to tell him when he grows up and he reads this that you're whatever? I'll have an adult conversation with him about how pregnancy is fucking hard and he'll know I love him. But like,
what kid, if my mom did something like that, I wouldn't be like, you don't love me because you said your pregnancy was hard. It splits your body open. I imagine it is hard.
Well, part of it got, I think I was telling you guys the other day, I'm on all these different women Marine pages. And I think, my God, because they post like, if you're pregnant in the service, like, going through that and having to get back in. Ooh. Hey, can anybody help me? I have to get back in weight standards, but I'm still breastfeeding. And so I'm blah, 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 blah. Like the shit they're going through that they like, things have gotten better and better progressively, but it's still, they want me there at 5 a.m. for PT and daycare doesn't open till 5:30 and my body's not bouncing back into shape and I'm still in pain and there's no breastfeeding room at the office and blah, blah. Like, so I guess I can complain, but like comparatively, I feel like, thank God.
It sounds to me like in the military, and I'm
a bunch of complainers, right?
Well, a bunch of whiners,
right?
A bunch of little bitches.
Really, seriously, knock it off.
Made me feel tough up, reading pussies. All their crying over there. Yeah.
Back in my day.
Yeah.
I'm totally speculating, but it sounds to me like the people who are making the rules for women returning from pregnancy are a bunch of men who don't really fully appreciate what it is to be pregnant. And in
it's you a vagina, what? Michael. What could it cost to fix? A week?
Yeah, exactly. No, seriously. Right. I think until you have a spouse or a partner and you go through it with them and you see firsthand what it's like, you can't really appreciate. Because I guarantee you, if I walked around this Barstool office and I asked guys, like, how long does it take to bounce back after pregnancy? I bet you a lot of them would think, I don't know, like a week, 2 weeks, not realizing all that goes into what happens to your body and how you need to recover post-pregnancy. And during the pregnancy, too, that you were talking about, Kate.
And like, I just want to say for the record, Khan's is saying that when his wife is not in the next room. Usually he's at home recording.
Yeah.
And he's in the office. So he's not even getting any brownie points for that.
I know.
Exactly.
I know everybody is different. Like, some people have great pregnancies and they're like, I felt amazing the whole time. I felt magical, whatever. Yeah. Like, that just ain't me. And I want that to be me so bad. Like, I get photographers DM me sometimes. They're like, do you want a maternity shoot? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I don't want to remember this. And so I was down at like,
now, what about a boudoir shoot with those huge high waisted bandage panties?
They all make it look so ethereal. They're in like bathtubs full of milk with rose petals and just their belly and breasts sticking out. Like, good for them. It's wonderful. That just, I could not feel further from that. I just want to poop so bad. I just want to poop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, so this weekend at Lake Michigan, a bunch of my family was there and like word spread like wildfire throughout the family community that I couldn't poop. So it became like everyone's focus.
Your family's so awesome.
She's like, you take this bottle of water, go for a lap around the block, wiggle this way. She's a nurse. You'll get that poop out. And then I'm walking to the beach. My uncle passed me on the back. He's like, you'll take a poop soon, kiddo. Like, everybody's like, root me on to poop. And like, you know, they're texting me. They're calling out, did you poop yet? You know, it's become a very big cause for concern in my life. And I just, it's just.
So it seems like that's a firm no on your part.
Dude, what I wouldn't give to take just a real growler, folks, is my God.
Going to give birth twice at the same time.
There's just so many things. And like the thing I wrote about in the blog that was the most graphic, I feel like you guys are like I don't know. I don't think you guys think sit around thinking about my bussy. Okay. My pelvic floor is collapsing.
What does that mean?
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's the muscles that hold your bowels, your uterus, and your like asshole up in your body. Between your hip bones, there's like that area between your hip bones. It's just like a hole, and your muscles hold it up. Those muscles have collapsed under
atrophied
the weight of my shuffling
bit.
Organs and from never fully recovering last time from the first birth. So all my lower organs are pushing through my vagina, and I can literally squish them back in like a tub of overflowing gack.
It what? Is the most...
And whoa! I told my doctors, I was like, hey, like you can feel it. My organs are falling out. And they're like, you'll have that girly pop. It's like, what? That's insane.
Like a prolapse?
Yes. Yes.
Jesus Christ, Kate.
The most uncomfortable.
Does it go back?
I'm telling you, it's like a tub of gack. It like.
No, I mean, I know that right now. Oh. We got the gack thing. I mean, like eventually, where are you going to have to do like Billy Blanks' Tybo for your pussy? Like to get everything back up in there?
They have physical therapists. And this is something nobody told me. They're called pelvic floor specialists. And it's physical therapists whose job is specifically to help women who blew out their pelvic floors during, because it's pretty, it's like not super common, but it's common enough that there's a whole industry around it. I didn't know that.
Oh, it's fascinating. I've seen some on TikTok. I've seen some people that do like the different exercises on TikTok. And once you start hearing that innards are coming out, you tune in for that.
And it's just
why are you watching pregnancy TikToks is what I want to know.
Well, I think it's because Kate and I used to send back and forth TikToks a lot. Yeah. So like the algorithm gets kind of like intertwined, because I got a lot of breastfeeding videos for a while too. But now that Kate and I don't share nearly as much, I don't get them.
Yeah. Kate, the thing that I think is ridiculous that you wrote about in your blog, going back to these women who take these photo shoots.
Yeah,
I don't think all those women who even do those want to do them. They just think like they're supposed to do them. They think they're supposed to feel like pregnancy is amazing and beautiful. And it is. Birth and childbirth is a beautiful thing, and it's awesome and it's a blessing. But I think it's also perfectly normal to acknowledge that it sucks. And I feel bad that you're experiencing this right now. And I'm very sorry that you're experiencing this. And I think one of the hardest things for me just recently, you know, going through all this with Alex was like, I couldn't do anything for her. I couldn't like take on half the pregnancy for half the months. It's like, you got to just kind of, you know, support them and tell them they'll poop soon and they're doing great, but there's nothing else you can really do, which is really tough.
But your role, I mean, this is where, fellas, if you want to cement your relationship, this is where you do step up, and anything you can do to make anything God does to make my life easier. Like, it can be the smallest thing, and I'm, like, so like, fucking grateful right now that it's insane. Like, he can bring me a cup of tea, and I'm like, oh.
Take some time off your feet and just go to the kitchen and cook me something. Like, that'll.
Yep. Anything small that he can help. And I think this time around, too, having a toddler to chase around when your bussy's falling out at the playground.
Yeah. Oh, it's probably tiring you out. Yeah, even more so.
Man, I don't know. I love you. But so anyway. That's what's going on. It's a real, buddies, it's a real mess down there. But don't even get me started on Burning Man right now. At least I don't have. At least I don't have my mud flaps all caked up like those guys
exactly
do.
Exactly right, Kate. So what happened at Burning Man? Do you know?
Good transition. Thank you all for listening to me. I just feel like you're not supposed to complain about that stuff because you're...
No, I think more people should.
But I think more people should. But anyway, Burning Man,
we've gone too far for that as a society where people think that you can't complain about anything. Oh, I don't want to complain. Yeah. And you have to compare. Like you kind of did it a little bit like, oh, something happened. Your grandfather died. My grandfather died. So that doesn't mean that means that I can't complain. Everybody has stuff and everybody should be allowed to complain because your life is your life. Everybody's going through their own stuff. And before we go into Burning Man, we got to give our guy Cons a shout out, Kate. Finally, after like a year and a half of looking and making, what, like 78 different offers on places.
At least.
Cons finally got a house.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number smart bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
Well done, Cons.
Yeah. Oh my God. What an ordeal. Yeah. I just got so tired of losing out. Like, we found a handful of other homes that we liked put offers in, and, you know, just the nature of the market, especially in New York City, greater New York City area, New Jersey suburbs, it's just a little ridiculous right now. And, you know, I am a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. And you think when you put an offer in a house and don't get it, like, well, that's it. I'm just,
now
we're going to have to settle
homeless.
Now. Yeah. I'm never going to find a house that I like again. And it's interesting. Each time we lost a house, the next house I liked better than the previous one. And this one that we finally got.
Do you think
got,
that's true, or did you lie to yourself? Because that helps.
No,
too.
I think that's true. I think that's true. And maybe, yeah. No. There's certain aspects that, like, all right, not as good as the other house. Yeah. But if you put everything together, I think this is by far the best one. So it all worked out.
Hey.
You know, now we got to just, you know, pack up and move here in the next few months and deal with that whole ordeal and then get settled in a house. I haven't lived in a house since 2011. So
buddy,
it's
going to
be very different.
You're in for a treat. It's a real hit.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
You really are.
I think,
really
honestly,
are.
This is, thank God she's not in the other room listening. One thing I am very much looking forward to is being able to go to a different part of the house and feel like I'm away from everything. And I think Alex probably feels the same about me because
she has to feel away more than you do. Has to.
Probably. Even in a two-bedroom
getting away from
apartment,
her doesn't seem as important as getting away from you.
1,000%. Even in a two-bedroom apartment, it just, you don't ever feel like you're fully alone. So I think it will be nice to spread our wings a little bit in this house and do our own thing.
I agree. Exactly. I'm going to take you on a little walking tour while we're doing the podcast because we finally got our basement set up.
Woo. Oh, that's a great basement.
Look at that couch. My God.
And this is, we have the TV. And my most important part, finally got my record player area set up. So I am over the moon. I've been hanging down
here. That's another thing. I was just at my brother and sister-in-law's house, and they transformed like one of their rooms to like a sitting room with their record player. And that's what I think we're going to do with one of the living rooms in the house is not put a TV, just have the record player, couches, chairs, and have a place to have some wine with friends or just each other or maybe by myself and just listen to records. I think that will be a nice new hobby for us to pick up. So,
and I need to say before we go into Burning Man, over the last few weeks, I didn't want to say it, I have turned into a Swiftie. Like the whole squad's been listening to it because they want to go to the movie that's coming out. And I never really paid attention to her lyrics. What a songwriter.
Dude, she is a generational talent when it comes to songwriting. It really is impressive.
We gotta get Kelly Keeggs on ZBT.
So All Too Well, are you shitting me with All Too Well, the 10-minute version? Like the way that she weaves in and out, goes to, like it's a 10-minute song that's not boring. Like how often do those come around where you're not even bored?
Yeah, I think haters don't have much to stand on. She's like,
listen, I think there are amazing musicians throughout the course of music history, but I think there's only a select few who could really be put in that pantheon of amazing songwriters like Bob Dylan, Jackson Browne, Bruce Springsteen.
She has to be
she's in that conversation.
Yeah.
Especially for our generation.
Mount Rushmore.
Yes. Yes. She's that talented, in my opinion, in terms of songwriting and performing.
Mate, long time stoolie Macy Gray, never forget. Brick by brick.
We used to drive around Pendleton in my Hyundai Sonata with her CD playing, and all the big Marine guys would be singing out her songs. Tim McGraw.
Was it a fast car?
Those were the days, huh?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Macy Gray.
No.
That's Tracy Chapman, but whatever.
Macy Gray is, I try to say goodbye.
Burning Man, fellas. I have been wanting to go to Burning Man forever.
One Kate, more thing before you do Burning Man, Kate. I need my closet collapsed 2 nights ago. And so if you hear a lot of banging, there's somebody upstairs that's not me. Shout out me. There's somebody upstairs that is rebuilding our closet because every article of clothing, all of the racks collapsed in on each other over the weekend. So that was fun.
At least it's not your pelvic floor, buddy.
True.
That closet.
I'd rather be picking up my clothes off the floor than my kidneys. So, Burning. Now Burning Man. Yeah.
Burning Man. Kate, you're right. I didn't really think about it before until you just said it, but you are the exact type of person I picture going to Burning Man.
I, again, pre-kids.
You'd be fortunate because she can't poop and there's no porta potties right now.
I like have to a better experiment. Time than most. I like to experiment. I feel like you only live once, and part of getting the full human experience for me, you dabble in a little psychedelics, you dabble in a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You meet weird people, you do weird shit, you know, beers. And that to me is living. Now, Burning Man, you go out in the middle of the desert and you wear goofy outfits and you ride bikes around and you take drugs and you whatever. This year, there was a plane that you could take up called the Mile High Club. You could wait in line and you get in the back of the plane and they fly you up and you bang the people in the plane. You fuck up there. And then they fly back down.
I thought you were like saying bang, like do something, but you actually
fly around till everybody comes. And once like, does everyone come? And you give the thumbs up, they land the plane.
Nice little 3-minute flight.
Thing I saw. There's just like endless. That's why I wanted to go for the bang plane, the Mile High Club. But like, there's just so much weird art and funky shit. And now it gets shit on though, because everyone's like, it's actually not cool artists. It's a bunch of Silicon Valley yuppies with enough money to just burn that they can make a.
Yeah, these festivals now become so wildly expensive.
They can make a $200,000 car that looks like a hedgehog with speakers on it for some reason, like, and drive it around for a week. Well, anyway. The big fear going into it was that hurricane was going through and everyone was like, oh my God, the playa or whatever they call it, the big flat sand is going to be fucked. It turned out it was okay. It was at the end of the week, this freak rainstorm came through. It totally fucked Vegas and it fucked Burning Man. And if you've ever been on a field op in the desert when it rained unexpectedly and your command wasn't prepared.
That's exactly why I put this on the sheet. Exactly.
Dude, you've seen when vehicles get stuck in the mud, big ones that aren't supposed to.
Moon and dust.
Moon dust, when moon dust gets wet, it becomes like cement. It gets on everything. There's nothing you can do about it. It's complete misery. So this is from the New York Times, but this kind of describes what the vibe was. The TikToks I've seen coming out of this place.
Amazing.
Just
horrific, but amazing.
Like, dystopian nightmare.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
Cool. As thousands of people, and in general, on a good year when everything is perfect, I did a blog last year, traffic can take, they say, pack your car like you're deploying because leaving the site in perfect conditions can take over 24 hours. That's how bad traffic is leaving the playa. Yep.
Wow.
There's usually only one way in, one way out. And it's, I forget how many, it's like hundreds of thousands of people all going at once in their cars.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Okay. As thousands of people left the Burning Man Festival in the remote Nevada desert, a local sheriff complained that they were lashing out at each other and leaving behind an unusually large amount of trash, including vehicles abandoned in the mud. And Burning Man prides itself on, we take in, you take everything out, we leave no trace, we're super green, we're real environmental friendly. They fucking trashed the place. The mass exodus began Monday and continued into Tuesday after the main road to the festival site reopened, allowing attendees to begin the trek home. Heavy rain had made the road impassable, stranding people at the festival site in Black Rock City. Some people started walking out on foot. There's videos, I think it's Chris Rock and like Bradley Cooper in the back of some guy's truck wrapped in foil blankets, desperately like hitchhiking. In the middle of the mud, miles from nowhere, like desperately trying to get out of there. Like people were fucking desperate to get out of there.
And what I think is important to point out with those guys, they have the means more than enough that you would think like, oh, well, they can get a helicopter. They can do something. Nope. That's how poorly this thing was planned, that even if you had all the money in the world, you still weren't getting out. You
they
had
should have
just
brought the helicopters to dry everything with like big fans.
They should have.
They could have.
Mm-hmm. And so it's Black Rock City. It's middle of northwestern Nevada, like nothing around it. Tickets are $575. for like the lower bottom end ticket, and more than 70,000 people go. So there was 70,000 people, tens of thousands of cars, all stuck in giant mud puddles. And the only way to get there is a 2-lane rural highway into the main gate.
Have you not watched Woodstock, folks?
Like, yeah, right.
I know. The rain closed the route, and even still, when they finally reopened it, people were getting stuck. There was videos of RVs trapped in the mud, and then RVs about 50 yards behind them revving their engines and trying to get through, and everyone cheering them on, or yeah, and then they would get stuck too, like a fly trap. It was like watching a fly trap suck in flies. Then with festivals, you have heavy equipment, fire safety, the burn that's supposed to happen when they burn this major thing. Everything else got fucked too. So like security, safety, food, supplies, logistics, all also got fucked.
And that's my favorite thing. That's the reason why I wanted to talk about this, because I think at this point, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever day it is, people have seen the footage. If you want to see the footage, I just really liked the bitching that was going on. There's this dude, Neil Cattell, who's a Supreme Court lawyer and law professor. And he went and he looked like he was dressed like a TikToker when he went. It was very bizarre, his outfits that he was wearing as a Supreme Court like attorney. You would think that those people are always kind of buttoned up. This dude let a freak flag fly a little bit. He said it was an incredibly harrowing 6-mile hike at midnight through heavy and slippery mud. But I got out safely out of Burning Man. Never been before. And it was fantastic, with brilliant art and fabulous music, except for the ending. For those of you with friends who are there, more rain is projected. It's very wet right now, and cars are and other vehicles can't drive and likely won't be able to for several days. There's a lot of food and water, and people are being generous and caring. One other thing, if you know anyone who's hiking, they need to prepare their boots. Plastic bags on your bare feet, then sock over it, then put a boot or a sock on. There are lots of places where you sink into the mud down to their ankle, and you need the plastic bag to avoid being soaked. Brother, that is the exact way to get trench foot. That is the worst advice. And that, like, that's what was making me so happy about this. People giving tips about what to do. If you're feeling like your car is going to get stuck, throw some clothes underneath it. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? Wrapping your feet? Like, have you not watched Forrest Gump? You got to keep them suckers dry, Bubba, unless you're going to go chesty polar and pull out some hog's fat and rub that on your heels like you're in Nicaragua.
It's crazy when you get situations like this. You know, it can go one of two directions. It can either bring out the best in people and everybody helping one another, or, which I think is more likely a lot of times, is brings out the worst in people and they just start to look out for themselves. And I think you got a little bit more of the latter going on here this past weekend, where these people were just trying to look out for themselves, get themselves out of there however they could. And
like yesterday, this guy had his thumb up my butt in that plane, and now he's passing me by on the way out.
Right. Yeah, he's leaving me high and dry in the freaking mud. What's wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
But I will say, like, I have to imagine if all of those 70,000 people, if you had any experience in the military in the last 20 years, I have to imagine that helped a little bit, whether it was, you know, being okay with being stranded for 24 hours and mentally being okay with that, or preparing accordingly going into the weekend, seeing the weather report that you might get stuck. So you have the rations and the clothes necessary to get stuck. It just seems like you got a lot of people who are not cut out for this sort of adversity.
Yeah. I'm not cut out for that at this point in my life.
I don't want to be dealing with that.
Miserable, dude.
No.
Another part of it is, you know, anytime you did a field op, this is like a big field op of rich people who are at the end, you got to clean your weapons. You got to clean the vehicles. And I remember the tracks guys over at the tracks bay on Camp Pendleton going into the ocean. They had these like huge, massive car washes that they always had to be sending their tracks through. They constantly had to be cleaning their vehicles. Well, all these hundreds of thousands of people, like tens of thousands of people, so many of them fly in and they rent cars. That's what they take rental cars to Burning Man. And every year there's a ton of posts from the rental car companies being like, and this is in dry years, being like, the dust has so completely fucked this car. Like, people go into it knowing they're not getting their security deposits back because they just, that moon dust, if you've deployed, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it's still on my gear. In my stuff, my Afghanistan moon dust is still covering.
You can still smell it. Yeah.
You can still smell it. It's still there. It never goes away. Well, now all the local car washes outside Black Rock City, these people. So Colleen Skeen, assistant manager at Sierra Car Wash, told Channel 2 News that 6 inches of clay were coming off these vehicles and clogging all the drains of the car.
Oh, yeah.
All the local car washes are basically getting filled with cement now. The brushes and bristles of the things are getting fucked. And then
they didn't notice, it would scratch it up too. Like all that dirt and clay, it'd scratch everything up.
Yep. It's basically, they're saying, like, all the car rental companies are saying, like, this has been apocalyptic for them. All the car washes in town are like, please go somewhere else. Holy shit. It's just caused, plus bacteria in the soil getting into cuts, blisters, sores, abrasion. Minor injuries are becoming nasty infections, apparently, according to local hospitals that are there. It's like, it is a field op gone horribly wrong, basically.
Yeah.
So did you guys ever have one, a field op that just went, I feel like artillery when it gets muddy.
I definitely had some ones that were, you know, rainstorms, and it definitely got muddy. So like when you get back, it takes that much longer to clean everything. But again, you're used to cleaning, you know, that was going to be, you know, part of the time when you got back to, the motor pool that you're going to have to spend time cleaning. It's just a little bit extra. And you go into it knowing like, this is going to stink. These people go into this thinking they're going to have an amazing weekend. They don't expect to get crushed by this ridiculous weather and all this mud everywhere. And again, they're just not prepared mentally, physically. But you would think like, all right, now we got to AAR this. I don't know who puts on Burning Man, but you got to do a serious AAR and fix this. I don't know if that means you go
I don't
a couple
know
of
it's
roads
possible
out there.
There's something that some things just aren't possible to fix. Maybe it's not a great idea to go out to a place that nobody lives, and this is probably the reason why. That's probably the reason why they don't live there.
Don't voluntarily strand yourself in the desert because it's going to be difficult to get out. Maybe.
But I'm still going to go some year. Believe you me.
Yeah, I totally believe that. So after shitting on the Supreme Court lawyer guy, he actually did come back after suggesting that everybody gets trench foot. He came back with his follow-up tweet a couple hours later after getting over 1,000 replies telling him that he's an idiot and going to get everybody's feet essentially removed. He said, I'm seeing the comments saying this carries a risk of developing, quote, trench foot through a moist foot. As I said from the start, I'm no expert and was just repeating what the park rangers told us what to do.
Rangers told you that.
Yeah, that throwing them.
Well, they might have, but park rangers out in the desert aren't used to wetness, so they probably don't ever have to deal with this. So it's entirely possible that some dumb park ranger did in fact tell this guy and thought it was the right move.
And he said, which probably took into account the fact that the plastic bag would only be on there 3 hours during the hike and not days like in the actual army trench. A bag is necessary due to the alkaline soil, and because it's so slippery in the playa mud, it's worse than ice. A bag on the outside could create more instability, is what they said. We buying that it's slippier than ice? I'm not buying that. More slippery than ice?
That was the other thing too, though. That mud is all alkaline or whatever. It's like an acidic mud. It's like not your normal mud, which is making things even crazier, apparently. So God bless them.
Well, I'm going to get some absolute shit show. Yeah.
They have this other sex one. Not that I'm going for the sex. I'm not. Now that my pelvic floor is blown out, that ship has sailed.
You don't want to get alkaline in that thing.
I've just read somewhere they have this one. There's like a whole sex section, like the Mile High Club and whatever. One's called the car wash. And basically you're all muddy and you're all gross or whatever from the week. You strip down, you go into this dark tent with consent. And then it's other nude people who have like swirling dusters and whatever. And you walk through pretending you're a car.
That sounds fun. That sounds like a good time.
Everybody just goofing.
That's goofing.
By the time you get through to the other end, you're squeaky clean and maybe you've been finger blasted a little bit.
Hell yeah, brother. Love that.
Something to think
I
about.
I hope not with all that mud, but okay.
I know you're right. Don't want any alkaline up there. Who knows? That probably burns.
If you're tired from getting finger blasted and going through different car washes, maybe you don't want to cook, you should go with our friends at Factor with a busy fall season. No, probably football. Yeah, with football going on and you don't want to cook, right?
Yep, that's like better.
Like a Monday night, Thursday night football game, not the other stuff. No. Don't, well, do it whenever you want to. With the busy fall season coming in swing, you might be looking for some wholesome, convenient meals for jam-packed days. Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit, can help you fuel up fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. Too busy to this fall to cook, but want to make sure you're eating well with Factor. Skip the extra trip to the grocery store and the chopping, the prepping, the cleaning up too, and while getting the flavor and nutritional quality that you need. Adjust your stride this autumn without missing a step. Choose from the 34 weekly flavor pack, fresh, never frozen meals, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. By the way, I got like a whole pack of these that was delivered, I think like 2 weeks ago or something like that. And usually they'll send like 10. They were gone in 10 days because Annalise works from home and she ate them every single day. Like when she, and she's like, yeah. They're so amazing. Good.
She's so good.
I'm in a meeting constantly. I'm doing things constantly from working from home. I just throw it in there and it's ready to go and it tastes delicious in no time. There's not really very many places that you could do that, and Factor crushes it. You can round out your meal and replenish the snack supply with an assortment of 45 plus add-ons, including breakfast items like apple cinnamon pancakes, bacon cheddar egg bites, potato bacon and egg breakfast skillet, and so many more. And I think that's the difference between this one. How many places have breakfast? Like getting a fast, easy breakfast is so clutch, man. Like if you could eat in 2 minutes and eat something that's not just cold cereal, you're ready to start your day. And now you're ready in just 2 minutes with no prep and no mess. Head to factormeals.com/blog50 and use blog 50 to get 50% off. That's code blog 50 at factormeals.com/blog50 to get 50% off. What a great deal. You're going to love the food too. All right, let's move on to round number whatever it is. We're going to talk about a Medal of Honor that was awarded this week. Kate, what do we have here?
We have, okay, hold on. We're not stopping the show no matter what.
There's no stops, folks. Just powering so through. You know, she's pulling it up right now. It's at the bottom of the
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training, just in time for summer and warmer days. I can't wait to get on my Peloton when I get home from the road. It just gets you going. It gets my heart pumping. Inside my house, I don't have to deal with anyone at these gyms, you know, looking at me any weird and or judging me. I get to do whatever I want in the comfort of my own home, and I absolutely love the Peloton and the app. Spring is the best time to power on your fitness routine and dial it up a notch. Peloton's workouts were made to challenge you. Whether you have 5 or 60 minutes, there are a variety of classes such as boot camps, full body strength, boxing, and marathon training. All of these are created to grow your skills and push you to improve what you already excel in. Peloton's program and instructors push you to be the best that you can be with challenging classes that'll keep you coming back for more. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at one.peloton.com.
Kate, do you have it there?
It is. Okay.
Got it. Yep.
Arab Emirates is what I was reading.
Yeah, that's not it. No.
Okay. So, President Joe Biden awarded the Medal of Honor to Captain Larry Taylor on Tuesday, honoring the Army pilot who risked his life during the Vietnam War by flying into heavy enemy fire to save 4 members of a recon team from almost certain death as they were about to be overrun. On the night of June 18, 1968, then First Lieutenant Taylor flew his Cobra attack helicopter to rescue the men after they were surrounded by the enemy. It was pitch black, no moon, no stars, no light beyond the glow of Lieutenant Taylor's cockpit control when he heard a whisper coming through his radio. "We're surrounded," Biden said, adding, "Lieutenant Taylor knew the risks, but he was ready." Worth noting, it wasn't Biden who said, "We're surrounded." He was not there.
No.
He was saying that Lieutenant Taylor knew the risks, but he was ready.
But yes. Biden was told by his friend Corn Pop, who he met at
the
pool.
Exactly. Right. He was... yeah. Biden was actually behind him in the cockpit, sniffing his hair gently
We're almost there.
Taylor, a Tennessean who's now 81, recalled that he had to figure out how to get the men out, otherwise they wouldn't make it. Talk about pressure.
Bullshit that this was 55 years ago and this dude had to wait till he's 81 years old to get what he was.
Well, it should be noted that he did receive the Silver Star for this initially. So it wasn't like this.
Lots of other awards
sort of
too.
Recognition. So, but also I would like to point out during this incident, my man was 26 years old. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just want to put that into perspective. So Kate, we'll continue with this story, and you put it in your head, like at 26, he did everything that you're about to hear. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's always in the back of my mind during reading these like incredible, like Medal of Honor stuff. It's like, wow, they were 18, they were 19, they were 20.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
David Hill, one of the four that Taylor saved that night, said his actions were now what we would call thinking outside the box. Hill and the others were on a night mission to track movement of enemy troops near the Saigon River when they were discovered by the Viet Cong troops. An intense firefight ensued. They were running out of ammo. They radioed for help. Taylor was there in minutes at the northeast, at the site northeast of what's now Ho Chi Minh City. He asked the team to send up flares to mark their location in the dark. And my God, imagine being surrounded and being like, do we send up these flares or not? Like,
right.
I would be frozen. I'd be frozen. Taylor and a pilot in an accompanying helicopter started firing their ship's miniguns and rockets at the enemy, making low-level attack runs and braving intense ground fire for about half an hour. But with both helicopters now nearly out of ammo and the enemy continuing to advance, Taylor surveyed the team's intended escape route to a point near the river. Again, this is in the pitch dark of night, and concluded the men would never make it. He had to do something else. He directed his wingman to fire the rounds left in his minigun along the team's eastern flank and return to base camp, while Taylor fired his remaining rounds on the western flank. So they're shooting out both sides. They're going back. Mm-hmm. He used the landing lights to distract the enemy, buying time for the patrol team to head south and east towards a new extraction point. So basically, he made himself a sitting target for the men on the ground to get out. After they arrived, Taylor landed under heavy enemy fire and at great personal risk. The four team members rushed toward the helicopter and clung to the exterior because it only had two seats. Shotgun!
That's the other thing. It wasn't like, oh, we have seats for everybody. It's like, no, just hold on to anything you can hold on to.
Yeah. So he takes these four guys who are dangling to the outside. They're holding onto the outside of his helicopter. That's how little time they had. He was on the ground for about 10 seconds. I finally just flew up behind them, sat down on the ground. They turned around, jumped on. A couple were sitting on the skids. One was on the rocket pod. I don't know where the other one was.
Oh, my God.
But all we had to do was haul ass, and we did. During the medal ceremony, Biden said that Taylor's aircraft was hit multiple times and that he could have left the flight. Like, no one would have faulted him if he came mm-hmm. back to the air wing and was like, there was nothing I could do. Like, everyone would
be too hot.
That situation.
Yeah.
At one point, the president said Taylor was directed to withdraw but refused. So, again, a situation where, like, you're pretty much in your mind, you're like, I'm going to die doing this, and you still do it anyway. Just takes such an incredible amount of as Biden said, that's valor. That's our nation at its very best.
I got chills like at that part, like doing what you're told not to because you need to protect other people. Like,
I think.
Well, he even said, he's like, I was just doing my job. He was very mm-hmm. humble about the entire thing. He's like, I just had to get these guys because that was my job. Unbelievable.
I think people think of the military as like, you're all these little robots and you all think the same and you're all instructed to do the same thing and you always listen and you blah, blah, blah. But the greatest stories that we have are when people, like they said, he had to think outside the box there. Mm-hmm. And it's that adapt, improvise, and overcome. Like, the military can actually make you extremely, like, we have to get, here's the mission. Here's where you're at. And we don't care how the fuck you get there, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, think, do what you have to do. Like, it really, some of these
people, and if that's it goes why,
well, if it goes well, if it goes poorly, you're fucked. Then you know
you're,
that.
And then you're screwed forever. You know it, and then you're ridiculed, and you're just, and then.
But you also know it going into it. You're either going to be the hero or you're going to be the not hero.
But that's why I point out that he was only 26. The fact that he thought through all of this, instructed the other chopper to, you know, essentially provide a distraction, and then to like work through all this as quickly as he did. It wasn't like he had, you know, an hour to think through this plan. Mm-hmm. This is seconds. He's making these decisions, instructing the other chopper, instructing the guys on the ground where to go. Split second. And oh, by the way, the entire time he's getting shot at. It's just unreal. Yeah.
And then the article ends from NPR by saying he later ran a roofing and sheet metal company in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He and his wife, Tony, live in Signal Mountain, Tennessee. Like, you go from doing something amazing like that and listen to these decorations. Taylor received scores of combat decoration, including the Silver Star, a Bronze Star, and two Distinguished Flying Crosses. The president noted that all told, Taylor flew more than 2,000 combat missions, earning 43 air medals in one deployment.
Wow.
Insanity.
Yeah. That's nuts.
I was just at the VA this past week, and I when you walk around downstairs, and it's every VA is the same. It's like the wall of fellas hanging out in their wheelchairs chatting.
Yeah.
I always look at them and I wonder, like, what are your stories? Because I bet some of you, you're sitting here looking cute in your little sweater with your red, like, army jacket on or whatever. And, like, I bet some of you have the most incredible, stories from your time.
And I think we've said it here before. Yeah. It's like, you know, there are so many stories throughout the military that we all know because they've been told time and time again, but there's countless stories that, you know, unfortunately, probably outside of that person's family or maybe their close friends, none of us will ever know those stories. So if you have those stories, share them.
I just found one this week. I'm trying to get him to agree to come on the pod. Whenever I was down at the Indiana Dunes National Park this weekend, one of the neighbors of the people that we were hanging out with was a dude he's in his 80s now, and he spent 6 months in a gulag because he was captured as a spy in the Soviet Union. And they were like, he's thinking about writing a book, but he doesn't know. And I was like, well, shit, I'll talk to him and encourage him to do that and come on my show and tell these stories.
Definitely.
Because they happen. I mean, like, one of our favorite people that we've interviewed, the late, great Stanley Rubin. Like, the first picture that I saw him is being like an old man in his 80s, like 5'4" slow pitch softball throwing. Like, you, when you see a dude slow pitch softball hanging out on the pitcher's mound at a softball field, you're not thinking that dude scaled Mount Suribachi with the fellas in 1945. Like, that's not what you think. Yeah. 43, 45. I don't know. Anyways, all right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Catherine, we'll start with you.
Oh, have I talked about my bussy yet?
No. How are your innards doing?
Not great. They're really falling out, guys. They're really not having a good time. I don't think anything for me. Back in the office, we kind of had a slow week last week with the yak being off and everything, but it feels good to be back in the office again. We had a big meeting at the Barstool Chicago office yesterday, where obviously we are all like, the firings and everything. Well, not the firings, pardon me, but the layoffs. It's heartbreaking. It's so many good people that I genuinely like. I love everyone we work with. And that was,
I think that's the hardest part about layoffs at any company. It's usually never people who were bad at their job and getting, you know, fired for cause. It was just like a numbers thing. And it's unfortunate.
And some of the people, like Michelangelo, is one of the most talented, creative, funky minds you could ever see. And wherever he goes next is lucky to have him. Same with Nick, like that work ethic and that attitude, anybody would be fucking lucky to have. Like, I don't know, if you're out there in New York City area.
Nick's gained like 6,000 followers since he was let go. He just turned it on. Like,
he's doing this wrestling thing now. Hannah here at the Chicago office, just like the brightest personality and such a hardworking, fun, incredible person. Like, that has really just sucked. And it's like a reminder to me, like, wow, these really hardworking people got laid off. Like, bitch, you better work.
And you could tell how happy like people are to work here and how great it really is, even with the layoffs. Like, the people that were laid off, nobody that I saw was public about hating the company or like embittered. Like, they all understood what was going on and obviously upset because it, like your finances, your family finances and all that stuff are drastically affected, but they know that like what we're trying to build here, and Nick is going to bounce on his feet. Like, Nick will not just do that, but he won't just bounce back, but he'll bounce back further than he was. No doubt about it.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Cons, what about you, my friend?
Yeah, we got to mention speaking of losing people, we lost Bob Barker, RIP. He passed away. Maybe I knew and forgot. Yes, he was a Navy vet. So
yes.
Shout out to Bob Barker. What a life that man lived. And then also, did you all see that, in France, they have the surplus of wine, hundreds of million dollars of surplus of wine that they're just going to destroy?
So I don't understand that. Just mail it somewhere.
Yeah, well, so that's what I was saying. Like, if you could get anything that was in surplus and just get it sent to you, other than wine, because obviously I think we would all agree wine would be amazing. But what else would you like to get just surplus of that money. You'd be good set for? Well, money, obviously, but any particular good? I was thinking like paper goods, like toilet paper or paper towels. That'd be amazing to not have to buy those ever again.
Yeah, that's a pretty shitty one, Cons. I gotta be honest with you. Like, of all the different ones,
certainly wine.
Like, I need more toilet paper.
I think if I could just
wine is way better. Whiskey, just,
yeah. Oh yeah, I guess I could do whiskey.
If my fridge was always like perfectly stocked.
Yeah. Well, just sign up for factor meals.
Fridge. Like we have in here now, we put in a little mini fridge. And when people come over and they don't know you have a mini fridge, and you're like, oh, just move that way. There's a little mini fridge with some beers in it. You want to grab one? It's such a flex. And it just feels so good to have secret snacks in different places.
Yep. Pretty pumped. My new house, I got a wine fridge and an ice maker.
We talking fancy ice maker or just a regular one?
No. Real
pellet ice?
Yes.
Oh, you motherfucker. Well done, Cons. See, that was worth going to West Point. That's how you get the West. That's how you get it, folks. Yep. If you want to have a pellet ice maker, like from the ones from Sonic, right? Like the Sonic ice.
Yeah.
Oh, God bless. That's what I've been crunching on like crazy.
You know what? I can't be that jealous of Cons. I might, honest to God, go on Amazon when we're done here and order one.
All right.
I can't be that outdone, no doubt. I don't really have anything else. I want to give a shout out to my grandfather, Roscoe. Roscoe retired working. He worked as a propane dude. I'll give a little background on his history. So he got polio when he was a little boy, and it was right when the vaccine was starting to roll out. So luckily it was able to stop some of the effects, but as a little boy, his growth was stunted. A lot of his brothers are 5'9" and above, and he was 5'4", and it stunted his growth a lot. It really affected his ability to play sports. He couldn't do any of that. He walked with a limp his whole life, and it got worse and worse as he got older. But despite having polio and despite those physical limitations, he went and was a propane guy. Like back in the day when you had to have a propane man, like go from house to house, checking on it and making sure that we were full and filling it up and giving the different orders. So he walked miles a day, like in order to do that with these ailments that he had. Retired when I was born, so he was probably in his 60s at the time, late 50s, early 60s, and never really went anywhere after that. Like, he stayed with my grandma. Him and my grandma just loved each other so much that they just essentially stayed together at their houses. They both loved to sit in their recliner and watch the Braves and watch the Gators and watch the news together and read their books, go get fresh bread every day from the grocery store so that their ham and cheese sandwiches were always fresh together. And I think that the best legacy that you can leave as a man, and we talk about all these heroic stories and things like that, but I think that if you ask each one of these people that we've interviewed, like your Woody Williams, like your Stanley Rubens, like your Robert Sweats, like the people that have those types of legacies, if you ask them, do you want people to remember you as being a hero or as being a good man? Most would say a good man. And I think that's my grandfather's legacy, just a good man. And I think that that's, if you can leave this world with nobody being able to say a negative thing about you and that you're a good man, you spun around the sun just about as well as you're supposed to. So
absolutely.
He's on the retreat.